T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is now 7:09. Make that 7:10 here at WCCO. You know it's what I love to do on a Sunday night is be here with you. And I am your host tonight for Steele Talking, Geralyn Steele. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. There's so much going on in the news. I like broke out in hives. No, seriously. But I look cute. Don't play. You know, we still have to put lipstick on even when we break out in hives. But somebody's got to do something. I'm nervous. Don't let what they say keep you up at night. 'Cause wings are made to, woo! And you know this, right? And you know this. Don't be afraid, honey, even if you have hives. If you're so nervous about what's going on around your world, just know you can relax, sit back, and just stay strong and move up and forward. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. I'm always excited when I have guests in studio, and at 7:22 we begin that with my first guest in studio. We're going to talk about the Twin Cities Women's Expo that is happening this month, so I'm excited to talk about that. But in studio with me right now is Susie Jones, our news guru, and from our newsroom. She's been here many years and doing a great job. Thank you. We have Jonathan Lowe in studio here. How you doing, Jonathan?
Holla.
Shaletta Brundage is also here, who is new to WCC. She doesn't like to talk. She's paying attention. But, Suze, you know, I'm going to jump right in here. It is really quite remarkable with all that is going on right now, but I must begin with a really important story that I need to update you on.
Okay.
So remember last week I told you about my nail falling off?
I wondered about your nail.
I'm just saying, honey, my nail flew off, and it was bright red. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can't miss a bright red nail off of a black woman. Can I just say that?
Right. Stands out a little bit.
It stands out just a tiny bit, mm-hmm. but I got them done. Can you see?
Beautiful.
Got them done, right? Mm-hmm. And you go in, and sometimes it's frustrating. I know we're supposed to take time to pamper ourselves. Mm-hmm. Don't rush it. Enjoy the journey, right?
Right.
But when there's a child that is screaming,
oh,
you know, especially if they're doing your feet.
They shouldn't be allowed in the salon. Children.
Really?
Yes.
Or either have a place for them in the salon.
Soundproof.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Seriously, because you can't relax, right? If you're rubbing my feet and paying my bills, I'm going to relax. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, paying the bills doesn't happen. But if I am relaxing, mm-hmm. and helping to pay your bills at the shop, I think we should be able to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what happens to you when someone comes in that knows you? And they come over and go, oh, Susie, hey, girl, you here pampering yourself, too? And they sit next to you in that seat where they get their feet done. And are you going to stop and talk loudly and laugh loudly? Or what do you say? What do you do?
That is such a hard one.
Oh, come on.
Come on. What am I going to say? Go away? I suppose I could. I really do not like to be bothered when I'm being pampered. Like, I get massages from my lady, Judy, and she knows. I walk in there, I get ready, and I said, okay, I'm not talking.
She said, I want silence.
Sometimes she'll say, you know, what's going on? Da, 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 da. I'm like, I am not laying here giving you a play-by-play on my family right now because mm-hmm. I need to chill.
Exactly. And by the way, sometimes it's the actual practitioners, you know, who are supposed to be rubbing your feet and doing your nails.
And they are talking
and laughing and giggling and, you know, I wonder if they're giggling about my feet.
Probably.
Especially when somebody else rolls over just to check them out. Come on now. That's a little embarrassing for
me.
It is. So.
Look at these feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, can't stand you because your feet's too big.
You know there's
Mad
a song.
At
have you
you.
Heard that
yes,
song?
Yes, I have.
I love that song.
A wonderful song.
Okay, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. So we've covered your nails.
We've covered my nails.
What next topic are we going to?
I'm not kidding you when I broke out in hives. This is no joke.
No, that was a real thing?
No, that was a real thing, which is hard to see hives on a black woman, but you know that they're there. You know what's up, right? Seriously.
I don't see them on you.
But really, I was
Why?
Watching.
What'd you
I
do?
Watched a day of the news. I wanted to get all caught up. You know how you read the news, and I take a lot of magazines and all mm-hmm. this stuff, and I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let me watch and see what all these stations. And I'm going from all of the news stations on television.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I just got really stressed
You know, I start walking the living room and going downstairs to do laundry, anything I could do to get away from it all. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, all of a sudden I'm scratching and I'm itching. I'm like, oh, my God, this is called an anxiety attack or stress.
From watching and paying attention to the news.
Yeah.
You got to get better at shutting it out.
How do you do it?
I just don't pay attention.
You don't turn it on at home when you go home?
No, I do. I listen, I watch, I pay attention, but somehow it doesn't get in. I told you that. Sometimes it doesn't get in, then every once in a while it gets in. And then I cry.
What about you, Jonathan? Does it ever get to you? I mean, you used to be on television as a weatherman, but what about news?
Yeah. Well, I did report as well when I was on television.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did report for a couple of years while I was doing weather on weekends. Mm-hmm. And it was a different time back then because it was a different era of politics. And I'm not a big politics person, but now I'm going home at night and watching, you know, flipping through all three of the big ones mm-hmm. just to try to keep some sort of balance. But there really is no balance. You know, one, they're talking about the payoff to Stormy Daniels. The other, they're talking about,
who is she? Never mind.
Yeah. The other, they're talking about, you know, how great this is that the president is going over to potentially chat with Kim Jong-un. The Russia investigation.
Okay, here's what I think.
The tariffs, the tax
reason
cuts.
I think I got hives from this, really, Susie, mm-hmm. okay. is because you and I both know, all three of us in here, all four of us in here know that if this had been any other president in our past, in our lifetime, mm-hmm. there's no way we would be at the point we're at today with that president still sitting in that seat, mm-hmm. right? I don't mm-hmm. care, Republican or Democrat. It just would not happen. What is it today? What is happening? How can we be at this point knowing what we know and nothing seems to be getting done quickly enough for me?
Or it's not having an impact. I mean, you might think to yourself, if a sitting president allegedly paid someone $130,000 to be quiet 2 days before the election, that is something that, like you said, I mean, you wonder why that wasn't more dramatically responded to.
Right. Or and if we believe that the Russians have been interfering with our elections and it could happen again, mm-hmm. why is it that the money that's been put aside to make sure that that doesn't happen, none of it has been spent, not even 50 cents?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all real questions. And I think that, like you said, some people just choose to not pay attention.
Well, this is my viewpoint. And I don't know whether it's just that it's being shown in the light more mm-hmm. or whether it has become more of a reality. But it seems like everybody, and you've heard this before, everybody has fortified their views. Everybody has strengthened their views to the point where it's as hard as a rock. Mm-hmm. It's as hard as a cinder block, and nothing can penetrate. It's either you see things my way or to bleep with you.
Yeah.
And that's something that we as the electorate have to change. We have to be open to listen to other people. We have to be.
Can I not say to hell with you on the radio anymore?
I'm just trying.
I need to know.
I'm just
somebody
I'm just,
straighten
I'm
me
just
out.
Trying
Clear.
To keep this. I'm just trying
Clarity.
To keep this G.
Okay.
Because it could get R real fast.
Well, seriously though, you guys, I have to figure out a way. So I'm talking to a woman later on tonight who's going to talk about our fears. Why are we such a fearful country? What has brought us to this precipice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how she's going to answer that question. First of all, she's going to have to define what fear means to her, right? Mm-hmm. How do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about how we got here because, I mean, everything around us seems to promote fear,
mm-hmm.
don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you let go of fear?
Myself?
Yeah, yeah.
I just trust God.
Amen.
I just say, well, this is happening. I have no clue what's going on.
I don't exactly know
what I'm supposed to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I just do. You know, in my program that I go to on Tuesday nights,
the
program Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a saying that says, just do the next right thing. So whatever that is. So mm-hmm. for me, you know, in the news business, my task every day is to go to an event, get the information, bring it back to the station and write a story. So I'm kind of always in the next thing mode because I'm just there. It's just right in front of me. It's when I have big stretches of time where I don't have anything planned or doing that mm-hmm. I tend to get in my head and I start, I'm very much, I have a morbid obsession. Like, I think the worst. Mm. You know?
I don't think that's uncommon.
No, I don't either.
I don't think that's uncommon.
And there are plenty of people that find joy in you thinking like that. That's what's even more disturbing to me.
Yeah, there's money to be made.
Yeah, there's money to be made.
Right. So anyway, then I try to say delete, delete if I go real dark. Mm-hmm. But
I try to stay as bright as possible.
I know you are a bright soul. Right.
And then there are those moments when you feel as though you are in a deep, dark mm-hmm. hole. Mm-hmm. And that you're there alone, which is a great time to meditate, by the way,
right,
to help pull you out of it. Mm-hmm. But boy, I tell you, this is something I can't wait to talk about tonight. So stay tuned. We're gonna visit with our guest coming up in the 8 o'clock hour
okay.
to really talk about fear. Susie, I adore you.
I adore you, too.
Thanks for joining me tonight.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jonathan, thank you, sir. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with my first guest. We're going to talk about the Twin Cities Women's Expo that is coming up this month. You know how much fun an expo is, right? You haven't forgotten, right? Oh, honey, stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
In studio with me is a woman who absolutely knows that she is on fire. It is now 7:23. Welcome back to Steel Talking. I am your host, Geralyn Steele. Well, you know what it is when it's time, when it's March. Of course, we always think of hockey, high school hockey, and so much more in March. But, okay, Twin Cities Women's Expo. It's a really big deal. I used to go to Expo all the time for years and years. I even visited a couple of times in other states to see what their women's expos were like. Well, joining me in studio is a woman who purchased Twin Cities Women's Expo recently, and I am so excited to talk to her because she does not ever want this to fail. It's too important to fail. In studio joining me is someone I'm getting to know and admire very much, Buffy Blessy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's so good to see you.
It's awesome to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is the 30th anniversary of National Women's History Month, or International, in fact. We just had our Women's International Day last week, and to know that we're celebrating women's history this whole month of March every year, to know that the Women's Expo is still going to thrive in this particular month means a lot to me. What does it mean to you?
You know, this is a really tremendous opportunity for us to reimagine what it means to be a woman and to put together something that represents who we are mm-hmm. and what we've been doing and where we're going. And I'm super excited to be that person to help drive the next layer of that. Mm-hmm. So being during Women's History Month makes it even that much more special. And, you know, I'm looking for advice from everybody else. This is new to me, too.
Yeah, it's new to you, but you don't have any problem asking the questions and asking them to the people who can answer them for you. And that's really a big piece of leadership, which you know very well.
Thank you.
When we talk about Women's Expo, a lot of times women think, okay, we're going to have great music, great entertainment. We're going to hear some amazing speakers. We're going to have great seminars to help us make us better. Women, since 2016, the end of 2016, we have risen up and there have been changes among us, right? We are stronger, standing taller, and we're standing together more now, this particular year, than ever before. Knowing that, how do you sit back and say, what do I need to offer this particular year?
This was a really tough opportunity for us to take a chance and some topics that we might not have otherwise have done. You know, typically the expos have been a lot of shopping and a lot of camaraderie, and there's going to be a lot of that too. But we've invited some really tremendous organizations to be a part of this, some nonprofits, to tackle a couple of tough topics. Everything from sexual harassment, which has been a big part of the Me Too, mm-hmm. we've got a little bit of that, to what it means to mentor each other and protect each other and be a part of each other's lives. And we're hoping for community conversations. So we've got some areas where you can meet with other women and other groups and find out more about how you can change the world. Mm-hmm. We're more, I've been telling people, we are really multidimensional. And
always have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not always been out there in this way, mm-hmm. right?
And some have had the fear of trying to put it out there, yeah. right? We weren't quite sure what that would look like. How do we put it out there? How do we expose ourselves? You know, we already yeah. deal with so much of that in our personal lives as well as our work yeah. lives. And now you want to bring us out into the world.
Yeah.
But wow, we have opened it. The jar is open. The bag is open and it's out and we're never going back
That's
in.
That's right. And it's a community. I mean, I hope that what I can bring to the table, what we can do is be a community, a place where this sharing and engagement and enrichment can happen. Mm-hmm. And it's about the women that come and bring with them the conversations they want to have right. and the topics they want to have. I don't have all the answers, Geraldine. I mean, right. I'm a, you know, I'm middle-aged and I'm...
But that's what makes a great leader. You don't right. know everything that's happening, but you are willing to take it on, to you know, take the mantle yeah. and run with it.
And so I'm looking for more from other people. Tell me what you want. And this is, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time for this one, but there'll be more and there'll be more times for us to figure out what we want to do.
Now, this is happening on March 24th.
It is, yeah.
All day Saturday. Does it start at 8:30?
It does. The doors open at 8:30, mm-hmm. and then we'll get going. There'll be shopping, and there'll be lots of things on stage.
Lots of things on stage and some yeah. really great discussions. And hopefully the women will know that they can come and be true to themselves. Yep. That's what we're expecting.
Yep. It's safe, right? Mm-hmm. It's a safe place where we're going to be together, and everyone is welcome here. It's the you know, I've been working with small businesses for a long time. We always say focus, focus, focus. But, mm-hmm. you know, our group, our women, we are all over the board, and we want this to be open to you.
Uh-huh. This is at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Mm-hmm. Again, this is happening on Saturday, March 24th. There are still tickets available. If people want yeah. more information, where do they go?
They go to TwinCitiesWomen'sExpo.com, and today we also have an opportunity for friends of Geraldine to get 50% off their tickets. So Ooh. I got you a little code today. So if you go to TwinCitiesWomen'sExpo.com and in the promo code type STEEL50, that's with the capital S, STEEL50, you can get 50% off your tickets, and that code will be good until the expo.
And how much are the tickets?
They're regularly $15, so the $7.50 for all of your listeners tonight.
What about bringing your daughters?
Oh, we are encouraging you to bring all your children and your daughters of all ages to experience what we have to offer. And, you know, the welcoming part of that, we've got, and here's something too, sort of interesting. We got a lactation station, two of them
nice.
Donated by.
Nice.
And, you know, we've got play areas and, you know, just some special things for everybody.
For everyone. Mm-hmm. So come. Now, if there are men who want to come.
Yeah, it is open to men.
Absolutely.
Somebody keeps asking me that. Mm-hmm. Is this a hostile place for men? Oh, absolutely
not.
Not
at all.
You know, men are a part of our lives. They are the support network for us. We are a team. And, you know, when they come and they mm-hmm. see what we're up to mm-hmm. as well, I think they're going to learn a lot. And
we're asking that of them. This whole Me mm-hmm. Too movement and more is saying mm-hmm. to the men, step up. You know, yeah. fight with us, not just for us, with us. You know,
right.
speak out when it's necessary to speak out. So it's wonderful. And by the way, if you are still interested in volunteering, is there still a possibility for
yes,
in some openings?
Absolutely. If they want to send an email to us, go to our website and send me an email at empower@TwinCitiesWomen'sExpo.com and let me know if you'd like to volunteer to be part of this. We have a very special part of this is a Minnesota Makers Marketplace. We reached out to some local women who are doing some fabulous things, and they couldn't come that day. It was too mm-hmm. short notice. We decided their products are too important, and so we've created a marketplace, and we're going to donate the proceeds of that marketplace to our charities, which you can find online.
Wow. How many charities are there?
Well, in addition to some of the invites, we've got about a dozen different ones that mm-hmm. we're supporting, including the Race for the Cure, the American Red Cross, the Union Gospel Mission, and a number of advocacy groups that we've invited to come for free.
Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that women are standing together. And we are finally holding, not just holding hands, not just singing Kumbaya. We are making a difference. We are changing the world. This is a chance to come and hear some really great speakers. This is a chance to really walk around, find out as much as you can, participate, be a part of it, and talk to one another. Not just network and say, oh, let me exchange a number with you, but really talk to one another. And what's amazing is that we can find out what we have in common, which is something that you and I, it's that synergy that you and I had a chance to share. And I can't wait to get to know you even better. I will be there volunteering all day, so I hope you will come down, meet the people that are involved, meet Buffy. She is absolutely adorable, and she's passionate about women and our issues and making sure that we have a voice. And this is what Twin Cities Women's Expo is all about. It's not about knocking any men down. That's not what this is. This is about empowering women and empowering the men and the girls that are there, the children that are there, to let them know that this is something we all need to be invested in.
That's right. That's right.
All right. One more time. Give us the website. And is there a phone number?
There is a phone number. So the website is TwinCitiesWomensExpo.com. And don't forget to use your coupon code STEEL50 with a capital S. And our phone number is 612-351-8181.
Can you give us that number one time?
612-351-8181.
That is excellent. Thank you for coming in
Thank
studio
you for
on
having
a Sunday
me.
Night. It's good to see you, Buffy.
It's good to see you.
All right. This is Steel Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, and we will be back in just a moment. It is now 7:37 here at WCCO. Welcome back. So let me tell you a little bit about the show tonight. We have a guest coming up in just a few minutes, but I want to tell you the 8 o'clock hour, we have Heidi Kittreser, who is joining us to this. And she's a law professor at the University of Minnesota, by the way. And we're really going to talk about the First Amendment. She is a constitutional scholar. And we know in the news, we've been talking about protests. Are they protected under the First Amendment? And I think in the Constitution, two things specifically were mentioned. And so we're going to find out exactly how that is defined today and how that definition has changed over the years. So that's at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:35, Kristen Ulmer is going to join us to talk about fear. What are the pros and cons of being afraid? You know, we're having that emotion of fear. We have it for a reason, right? Sometimes our gut says move because something's just not right. What would it be like if we didn't have it? But now it's come to a point that we really have to talk about it. So stay tuned. That's at 8:35. Well, now I'm really pleased to introduce to you our 7:35 guest. His name is Neil Krause. And I don't know, how many more resignations can the White House take without replacing people? I don't get it. How many people are necessary to run the White House successfully? I have so many questions about this. And so I thought it's time for us to get some answers. Neil is a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls. Welcome to WCCO, Neil.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Really appreciate it. Do you get this question often?
About the resignations in particular?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. And it's hard to keep track of them, isn't it? It seems like every day there's at least another one, or at least there's rumors of more resignations on the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's tough for the president to really get anything going if he's sort of constantly got a new team in place, or you know, planning ahead for putting some new people in place. And it seems to me, regardless of your views of the president, I don't know how he can really get a whole lot going, particularly with Congress.
Mm-hmm. Particularly with Congress. And I would like to add a word to that, the silent Congress, because I know that Congress is working and doing things that we don't necessarily know about, because we keep hearing about all of these conflicts and all these awful things. And when we heard the president just this past Friday, I believe it was, say, hey, I enjoy conflict. I like watching people, you know, who are different from one another kind of go at it. That I think that's where we are in our nation when it comes to the White House and the Congress and so much more. And that distracts us from what we should really be paying attention to, right?
I think you're right. And it's funny, right, because the Republicans control the Congress and the White House, and I know there was a lot of expectations that quite a few things would get done. And then, as we saw in 2017, not a whole lot got done, really, with the exception of the tax law that was passed in December.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. The sort of perpetual conflict, between the parties, actually within the Republican Party as well, We're seeing that now on trade. It does create a situation where not only, you know, not a whole lot gets done, but also I think it just breeds more cynicism among the public and negativity about the whole process.
Right. So historically, is this the smallest number of people trying to keep the White House afloat, like ever?
You know, I believe it is. I believe it is. I mean, I'd have to look up some of the you know, previous administrations, but certainly, you know, there's a lot of folks that are still have not been appointed at the, not necessarily at the top level, but just below that in a number of the departments. You know, I know some of the press has been keeping track of this, but there's a lot of ambassadors have yet to be appointed around the world, U.S. ambassadors. So I think it is certainly in the modern era the fewest number of high ranking positions that are actually in place at this point.
We've had several secretaries step down, and you wonder, okay, is there an assistant secretary who's going to come forward? And then you wait for the president to nominate someone else or to bring someone else in. So how does this really work? How many staffers, how many people does it take for the White House to run efficiently? Do you know?
Wow, that's a great question. I know people who've studied that will, you know, say that it might vary from president to president because they have different leadership styles. With this president, it's really hard to tell what his exact style is, other than just sort of, you know, conflict and chaos and turmoil. I mean, he changes his own positions on things. We saw that just a few weeks back on the gun issue, to take one recent one. You know, in a matter of days. And I think people looking at that, you know, from the outside who might be inclined to maybe take a cabinet position, I'm not sure what's in it for them. If they see this constant sort of exit of all these other folks in the cabinet and the staff, I'm not so sure that that's a good recruiting tool for new people to come in.
Right. You know, it's been rumored. You hear rumors all the time. Well, people just don't want to go for these jobs. I don't know how true that is. But as we keep watching this unfold, it is very clear that we are missing a lot, if not hundreds. I mean, some people say dozens. But there are other stations, radio stations, where, you know, people are saying, no. We're talking about hundreds of people that are needed in these positions. Let's talk about the Secretary of State and the Office of the Secretary of State, as well as Defense, Secretary of Defense. These are really two important, really, really important offices for us to make sure that diplomacy goes forward and moves forward ahead of us, kind of speaks for us, kind of calms things down. How do you think we're doing with that?
Well, I don't think we're doing particularly well on the, particularly with the State Department. I mean, you need people who have been, you know, there for many years, who are experts on all these particularly difficult areas of the world, whether it's North Korea or whether it's the Middle East. I mean, people that know the history, they know their counterparts in other countries, they know the politics of these other places. And when those people start leaving and, you know, people are brought in, I mean, we have Jared Kushner, for example. I mean, that's sort of comical, right, that he's going to fix the Middle East.
Right.
I mean, I remember being told that like about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people have dedicated decades studying and working for peace in the Middle East. And here comes a guy who, you know, has been a developer, you know, and he's going to somehow be the diplomat in chief. I mean, I think that's the attitude that's really coming from the White House, that you don't need expertise on a lot of these very complicated issues. And
right.
I think the fact is that especially in these in more complex parts of the world, you absolutely do need people that know the history, that know all the issues there, and that know, you know, what might work and what might not work, and these kinds of things. That's why the whole debate about North Korea is curious, because now there's talk that the meeting might not even occur.
Mm.
Because
the meeting between the president and the the head
exactly.
of North Korea? Yeah, well, I'm really hoping it doesn't happen. I believe President Trump actually had a rally today. He was supposed to be rallying for candidate, but he was really, it was his rally for his own running for office again in 2020. And he said, I want to get there and I want to make a deal. And, you know, just to hear that, I cringed. I thought, why does he think it's easy? I know he knows now that he's in the office, he knows it's not easy. He has to know.
Right. Now, you know, well, what's even, I think, more amusing is that he says that all the time, and apparently some folks respond to it. I don't know, you know, there's absolutely zero evidence after a year that he can make political deals at all. And yet he still uses that line, which I think is, you know, funny in and of itself. But and you know, on the North Korea issue, I think that that going back several presidents, right, mm-hmm. this goes back decades as well, tried very hard to work with North Korea in one way or another, and boy, they used a lot of their sort of experts and secretaries of state and mm-hmm. and professional diplomats and all
but
the
never
rest
a president
of it. And it was just every president in both parties in the last 20 years realized this is extremely difficult to do, even with your whole team in place and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of hope that anything major is going to come out of a meeting, even if it does occur. But who knows if it will at this point.
Amen. How many more resignations in the White House can we take?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think that very many more. It's just going to be, again, difficult to be taken very seriously, I think, around the world and also by, a lot of folks here in the United States. I mean, it's just not good for anything. And I think that, it's snowballing at this point too, right? Starting last February, March, April, there were a few. And then as the year went on, there were more. And then the last, several weeks, there have been more. And so I think that in the next few months, it's going to be even harder to bring those, new people in.
And you and I both know that that's an indication that things are falling apart. I mean, every White House, no matter if you're Democrat or Republican, has had to, people walk away. But never this many, never this chaotic, never this serious. I mean, we are talking really high positions that are absolutely necessary for our nation to be our nation. So without that, we are ever changing. Am I right?
No, you're right. You're right. And also with every other administration, even some of the lesser popular ones, there was always a pretty strong bench of people that would want to be appointed, and would want to take on those roles, whether it was defense or state or some of the domestic departments. Sometimes they were retreads of previous administrations, but they were people that had stature and had knowledge. It's not like George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. I mean, none of them had difficulty recruiting cabinet members or recruiting a chief of staff or anything of the sort. I mean, there was probably, several dozen, if not more, candidates every single time an opening were to come up. So,
right.
It's definitely different now. There's no question about that.
And to be clear, isn't it normal for those staffers who would stay behind and stay in that position if the president didn't mind that, or whatever the position was, if it was the Secretary of State would come in and say, no, I'd like for you to stay. You have the brain trust that we need to pull on, so we're going to have these people stay. Isn't that normal?
No, I think it is. I think it is. The career diplomats or the career folks in any of the departments that are just below the political appointees, I mean, they're called career for a reason, that
right.
they, stay on from one administration to the next. They might work for, 25, 30 years at a pretty high level, just underneath the level of political appointments. And I think a lot of those folks have been leaving as well.
We've
seen that. And I don't think, filling those positions would probably be even more challenging, because people tend to to work their way up over a period of years and into those jobs. And they do provide valuable information for, I mean, and Jeff Sessions talked about this just the other day. He was talking, I think, at Georgetown University, and he, somebody asked him, you know, do you feel, you know, that you should have recused yourself? Do you feel bad about that, or do you regret that? And he said, no. He said, I turned to the career people in the Justice Department who, you know, told me in great depth about the statute that, you know, would preclude me from staying on because I worked in the campaign.
There you go.
And, you know, and so, you know, there are, they do important things, despite what you know, some folks might say about government officials now. But yeah, what's going on now is just hard to even wrap your head around, really.
Final question. Where do we go from here?
Boy, that's what we've all been wondering here for, you know, a little over a year now. I think that on the, you know, the Russia investigation, I mean, things are going very fast now. And I think there's going to be more indictments. You know, just in the past few weeks, it's tough to keep up with the news there. And that, I think, is really, I mean, the walls, I think, are closing in. I'm not saying the president's going to resign or he's going to be impeached in the next 6 months, because I don't think those things are going to happen. But I think that it seems to me that they're, you know, the pace of the investigation and the number of people who've been indicted, the number of people who are cooperating, are all just horrendous news for the president, and it you know, presenting sort of yet another obstacle for him to even, you know, try to get anything going with Congress or you know, in any sort of major policy initiatives or anything like that. So I'm not sure where we go. It doesn't appear like things are progressing here in any sort of, you know, meaningful way. I mean, I think the president's legal troubles are very significant and only getting worse. And all the resignations, are, you know, they're part of that package too. I mean, when the White House is, you know, continuing being besieged by, you know, all these charges related to the Russia investigation and a whole lot of indictments and so on and so forth of former, you know, campaign people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a good recruiting tool for the White House either.
Oh, so that's the truth. And we've never had a president arrested, so we don't have to worry about that. You know, people, because I want to see him arrested. No, we're not going to see that. I don't think we've ever seen that, right?
Yeah. So, I don't think we'll see that. If it gets to that point, there might be a resignation, but I don't think arrest is on the radar.
Right. So there you go. I really appreciate you joining us tonight, Professor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. That is Professor Neil Krause. Again, he's political science professor at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Giving you all my love, still looking up. Oh, I love this song. It is now 7:56. And that's the bottom line. We cannot give up. And I know it feels like there's a heaviness over our nation. And by the way, that's real. It's real. It's really happening to us. To the point that some people choose to turn it off, whether they're listening to the radio, watching it on television, they just choose to turn it off. To the point where we get together with family and we choose to leave politics off the table. But I implore you to have a plan. You need to make a plan. There are things happening and moving so fast that could really affect each one of us directly. Directly. Now, many of you heard me say before the election, please, 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 I begged you not to get us here. But we all have the right to vote for whomever we choose. And we're here. Now, how do we deal with it all? So as we watch it all unfold, don't just watch, plan. And many of you have. Many of you have. Because things are changing so quickly. Have you noticed, you know, how many commercials you see on television? When I see a Chinese product being sold on television, I'm surprised for a moment. I go, oh, wow, look at that. I remember during the election, in the middle of the night when they were talking about the districts that were coming in, right? Who voted for who? Who was ahead? all of a sudden there was this Russian commercial. I don't know. Did you see that, Jonathan? You probably weren't watching it on television. But there was a Russian commercial that just showed up. And I said to my mom, do you see that? It just, bam, blip, there it was for about 30 seconds. And it shocked me in Russian, right? It's really, I don't know, we have to pay attention to what is happening to us and what is not being done. So, as we stay awake and we really believe in our hearts that there is something that we all can do, I don't know what it is yet, but I'm standing ready to help in any way that I can. I love this country. I love this country. I don't want dictators taking over. I love this country, and I know you do too. So stay awake. This is not the time to sleep. You're listening to Steele Talking. I am your host, Geraldine Steele. We'll be back in just a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.